B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
How messed up is this story? Two Russian tourists and a sports star were killed in a helicopter crash before being dragged away and eaten by brown bears.
Oh, what the f***?
Jesus.
World junior biathlon.
This is not a good day.
Champion Igor Melanovsky died alongside Zoya Kygrodova, a businesswoman who had organized the trip, and a cell phone company boss, Sergei Kolenskyak. So the trio lost communication due to bad weather before the chopper caught fire. Rescuers found the charred remains the next day with footage showing the scene of the tragedy.
Someone put out a spread for us.
An investigation allegedly determined that their bodies were dragged away and eaten by bears after the incident.
I don't know
if any of them were still alive after the crash.
I hope not.
Mr. Malinovsky.
It's just not your day.
Was a 5-time junior world champion in biathlon who had retained as a pilot for a company run by his father. The cause of the crash is still unclear, but an investigation will take place.
Yeah, wow. That's one where you would hope that they died in the crash.
Yes. Police have released body cam footage from an incident at a Utah McDonald's where a 4-year-old shot at officers.
So this footage.
Back in February. The 12-minute video shows the moments leading up to the arrest of 27-year-old Sadat Johnson, as well as what took place after one of his children shot at police at the drive-thru. Police initially responded to the McDonald's when employees reported that a man brandished a gun in the drive-thru after his order was incorrect. Employees asked Johnson to pull to the front of the restaurant after reporting the incident to the police. Johnson had 2 children in the car at the time, 4- and 3-year-old. Officers ordered Johnson to get out of the car several times, but he refused. Police then opened Johnson's front driver's door, pulling him out. As they were trying to take him into custody, an officer who had turned around saw a gun pointing out of the back window and screamed, "Gun," moments before a shot rings out. The officer had used his hand to sweep the gun away as the gun went off, hitting the upper part of the McDonald's building. The officer then yelled at the person inside of the car to drop the gun. And after looking inside the car, he realized it was a 4-year-old kid.
4 years old.
The children can be heard crying after the incident as officers ushered them out of the car and away from the scene.
Didn't the dad yell to the kid to shoot?
They didn't indicate story. Johnson was later charged in early March with child abuse, aggravated assault, and interference with an arresting officer. The 4-year-old told police that he had picked up the gun because he wanted his daddy back. The child also told police that Johnson had said the police officer cannot open the door during the altercation. After being arrested, Johnson told police that he, quote, blacked out for 30 seconds after he and the McDonald's employee were arguing over his order. He also denied brandishing the gun in front of a worker, despite surveillance video showing him doing so. Johnson also told police that this wasn't the first time that his 4-year-old child had gotten his hands on a gun.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's messed up. A Central Florida woman accused of running around outside of a Publix grocery store with a pitchfork and a black whip while trying to sell teddy bears was arrested Tuesday afternoon.
That's a bold strategy.
According to an arrest...
I'm going to appear to be clinically insane and hopefully move product.
According to an arrest report, a trooper saw a woman, later identified as Lisa Ann Sloan, yelling and waving the pitchfork and whip outside the grocery store's main entrance and handcuffed her after she refused to stop. The trooper spoke with the store manager, who said Sloan was reportedly trying to sell teddy bears behind the store.
Yeah, and that's what you would think, right?
And at some point, she started to yell and run around with a pitchfork and the whip and stabbed a man's minivan, causing damage.
That woman with the pitchfork and whip, I bet she's a stuffed bear salesman.
The trooper said the woman appeared to be highly intoxicated.
And it was raining.
On some sort of stimulant drug. Sloan reportedly told law enforcement that she felt no pain anymore and that God was in control. She was taken to the county jail on charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and the pitchfork was placed into evidence.
Maybe if she had just, like, dropped prices. We're looking into the back of the car on the police camera.
Uh-huh.
She looks like Marilyn Manson.
Uh-huh. 2 more shark encounters were reported on Long Island Wednesday, including an attack on a teenager.
Cool.
A dead shark, which appeared to be a great white, was spotted on Dune Road Beach in Kogi, New York, by a nearby resident. Later,
quag.
Is it quag?
Yeah.
Okay. And later in the evening, a 16-year-old surfer suffered a minor bite on his foot while he was in the water in Kismet Beach on Fire Island. The 7 to 8 foot shark found in the morning washed back into the ocean before police could secure it.
It's been crazy, the amount of shark activity this year.
Police said in a statement, at this time, we are cautioning swimmers and boaters in the area to be aware of the ongoing situation.
Or don't go anywhere near the water.
The Fire Island sighting happened when a teen paddled approximately 20 yards off the shore. The surfer was bit on his right foot and sustained an approximate 4-inch laceration. The team was able to walk out of the water and was transported to the hospital for treatment.
Let me tell you something. If I was paddling out on the surf and I got bitten by a shark, I would stay out of the water and I would never drink water.
Police responded by helicopter, but the water was too murky to locate the shark. Officers continued to comb the water on boats to locate the shark. This is the latest in a string of shark sightings and attacks off of New York's coast over the last few weeks.
You know, the original Peter Benchley Jaws takes place off of Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved it to Martha's Vineyard for the movie.
Well, right. There's a great white nursery off of Long Island. Like,
it's
off
like
of
a kinder care.
But that's, so like, I don't know, are they getting bigger? Is that why they're teens and they're coming out?
There's all kinds of, as I said before, the first Navy record of a death by shark happened off Fire Island. It was a hammerhead attack.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
So while scientists in the UK are spending their time trying to combat climate change, it appears that there is a far simpler solution to the crisis than we may have thought. Carbon capture technology, offshore wind, and nuclear power have all been on the list of the experts. But they should have just looked at getting two frogs to marry each other.
Oh, that's wonderful.
A group of people in the Indian city of Gorakhpur, which has been subjected to intense heat and lack of rainfall, performed a ritual to please the rain god Lord Indra. The group found two frogs and forced them to marry each other. Organizers said that it is a time-tested belief that frog weddings are held to bring rains. The spokesperson said we had a long dry spell and farmers in particular are upset over the delay in the sowing paddy.
We need a frog wedding.
Despite struggling to keep the newlywed couple together, hundreds turned out to watch the event, which involved a group of priests chanting as well as a big celebration meal afterwards.
Concerning the issue of the environmental impact, I propose another frog wedding.
Now, the question is, did it work? Absolutely. Yesterday, a severe rainfall alert was issued for several parts of the country.
You mocked a frog wedding.
Mock?
Yeah.
Despite temperatures being around 95 degrees all week, constant rain showers are predicted with a humidity of around 84%. So,
and as to fighting inflation with a gerbil daisy chain, let's do it.
Clearly, these things work. Two U.S. tourists were injured by a crocodile at Mexico's Puerto Vallarta resort when one went swimming in the ocean at night and the other went in the water to help him. The Civil Defense Office said the first American suffered bites to his legs, arm, abdomen, and chest. The second who went in the water to help suffered a wound to his hand.
Was this water the ocean?
I assume it was.
Are there crocodiles in the ocean? Off of Puerto Vallarta?
I don't know. They do have...
Puerto Vallarta is a coastal... right?
Yeah, the officer said both men were given first aid at the scene, and it said both men were from Colorado, but did not specify the hometown. Crocodiles,
Colorado's in America, right?
Crocodiles are a not infrequent sight in the coastal wetlands and shores of the Pacific Coast Resort of Puerto Vallarta.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that either until I saw that yesterday. Well, he stands 7 feet tall. He has a giant yellow face and has become a huge breakout star at the World Athletics Championships with his crowd-pleasing antics. But there were few smiles to be seen at Hayward Field on Monday evening when police were called after the head of the Legend of Bigfoot, the official mascot in Eugene, was stolen by an accredited photographer. It came just hours after Bigfoot had spent hours going through his repertoire of tricks that included forward rolling down 30 stairs, bathing in the steeplechase water in a rubber dinghy, and dancing and high-fiving a crowd.
This is a lame Bigfoot.
Shortly after the theft, videos emerged on social media showing unidentified men joking as they played around with Bigfoot's yellow head.
Eugene!
However, they were no longer laughing when police tracked down the culprit with the help of security footage and another photographer.
Has Bigfoot ever been described as yellow?
No.
This is an abomination.
Organizers stated, "We can confirm that an accredited photographer was removed from Hayward Field in connection to the investigation of a theft at the venue. This is now a police matter. We don't have any further comments at this time." But they got Bigfoot's head back. A Battle Creek police sergeant's effort to add a bit of humor by showing up in an ongoing neighborhood complaint in a Batman mask fell flat. In a recent video, Sergeant Chad Fickle is shown wearing a Batman mask while responding to residents, Justin Schott's report of a complaint. And it's the Batman mask that has the ears that point up really high in the front.
Okay, yeah.
Schott's said that he had repeated confrontations with an individual attempting to deny his legal deeded access to his dock since
Tell
the spring.
Me, am I getting fired?
The spring.
I will.
2021. Schott has documented his interactions with the individual and police in a series of 50-plus videos posted on his personal YouTube channel. Schott's previously called Officer Fickle a, quote, wannabe Batman in one of his YouTube videos, following a court hearing where he claimed that Fickle and other officers testified against him during the hearing. And so the officer shows up. Fickle's filming him when he walks up, and he says, "After you labeled me as Batman in your last rant, I decided to bring some levity into the situation since you've made a mockery of the entire justice system with this."
Mock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Police confirmed they had been responding to a series of complaints between landowners in the area since March of last year. Police said Fickle's use of the mask served as an attempt to insert humor into the longstanding civil dispute.
I could see if you're... I get the nature of what he's doing, but maybe you save that for like a picnic or something.
Not an actual call.
Right.
Yeah. So the police chief said, "As much as we value creative responses in all situations, Sergeant Fickle's..."
"I heard there was a murder-suicide here."
"I'm wearing a mask. It's pretty funny."
"Well-intended action was done in poor judgment and was disappointing. So, as is with all police..."
"Did they take his utility belt?"
"The case will be reviewed and addressed." I don't know about that. All right, and then finally, we have time for one more story. And you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to end on a bad one, even though. But hang on a second here. Yeah. A 911 call led to a horrific discovery at a Florida condo. Police responded to the Paradise Cove condominium Sunday after a 911 call reported seeing blood seeping from inside the home.
Oh my God.
They saw it outside of the house. They saw blood seeping out.
That's a lot of blood.
Three people were found dead inside, a 37-year-old man, 32-year-old woman, and a third victim whose age was not provided. A gun was found in the bedroom. Detectives are calling the shooting a domestic dispute. Officers said that there was no forced entry into the home and all victims lived at the condo. But it's just messed up that somebody walked by and seen blood coming out of it, and they notified the police. So the medical examiner is working to determine the official cause of death, and obviously an investigation is underway.
I'm guessing loss of blood was one of the reasons.
That is what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.